بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والانس الا ليعبدون صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, alhamdulillah, we continue this majlis of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayh, and we had stopped at the three faculties of man. Just to recap, we had discussed last, Mu'ashara, how to deal with people, and then taking bay'at, and in the past, the mashayikh, how they used to give bay'at, when they used to give bay'at, and how strict they were when they gave bay'at. We discussed all this in detail. Today we continue. Man has three basic faculties. Quwwate ghazabiyya, that is anger, rage. Quwwate shahwiyya, passion, desires. Quwwate aqliyya, reason. Quwwat means strength, power. So three faculties have been mentioned. Ghazabiyya, ghadabun in Arabic. Anger, ghazab, we say, rage. And quwwate shahwiyya, shahwat means passions, desires. Quwwate aqliyya, the strength of reasoning. Each of these can exist at any one of three levels. What are the three levels? Number one, deficiency. So this quwwate ghazabiyya or shahwiyya or aqliyya can either be deficient in a person, or it can be in equilibrium, or it can be in excess. So to understand this, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahman explains, he says, should quwwat al-ghazabiyya, the anger, the rage in a person, if it is in a state of deficiency and it be absent, person has no anger at all in his life, no rage at all, or it is deficient, then the person will not be able to express any anger whatsoever. So then he says, how will this person then go in jihad if jihad becomes compulsory? Who will make the correct effort to protect his possessions and his life? In other words, people will then take advantage. The man has got no anger whatsoever. People will keep on hitting him, slapping him, hurting him, abusing him. And the poor person who's got no anger whatsoever will never be able to take revenge. He will never be able to demand his right. And then he says, how will law and order be correctly established in the land? If you see the person doesn't have any anger whatsoever, it's gone completely out of his life. So again, three faculties, quwwate ghazabiyya, shahwiyya, and aqliyya. These are faculties Allah has given us. The rage we have, the passions we have, and the reason, intellect we have. Three stages. One, it is deficient. One, it is in equilibrium. One, it is absent altogether. Now, if there is deficiency or there is an absence in any of these faculties, then these are the problems the person is posed with. He's got no anger whatsoever. He's got a problem when the enemy is fighting him, and he won't be able to protect his wife, his family, his possessions, his life, his children. There will be no law and order established in the land. Should quwwate shahwiyya be eliminated? He's got no passion, no desires whatsoever. How will he get children? How will he get married? How will he be inclined to a woman to get married? How will he get children? The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they had offspring. This is being proof of the desirability of a certain degree of passion. So a person requires certain anger, amount of anger. He requires certain amount and degree of passion. And of course, aql also. There shouldn't be a deficiency in aql. You've got no brains, no intelligence, no reasoning whatsoever. So the aim, very important. The aim is not to eliminate the basic instincts. The aim is not to wipe out anger from a person totally, or passions and desires totally, but to terminate their abuse. This is the important thing. You don't abuse the anger. You don't abuse the passion and desire. You don't abuse the reasoning. This is tazkiyah of the nafs. This is purification of the nafs. The purpose of suluk is the proper and correct shari'i tazkiyah of the nafs. To purify the nafs according to sharia. Oh, mashayikh, may Allah Ta'ala bless them in the qabars and the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give them the highest stages of Jannat. Allah Ta'ala had chosen these people. They lived a life of taqwa. They consumed halal. They produced good, righteous deeds. Allah had chosen them. Allah gave them tawfiq and they became a means of hidayat. So you see, one statement they made. It's not just something they just blurted out. Allah Ta'ala chose them and Allah Ta'ala inspired them. So a person can become a so-called Sufi. He can be involved in mysticism. But it's not necessarily done according to Sharia. Many people in the world, even in the Western world also, there are so many non-Muslims who read books on Sufism and on so-called Sufis, etc. But the tariqah is not according to Sharia. So we are not going to digress. But the point here is that the purpose of suluk is the proper and correct shir'i tazkiyah of the nafs. The purpose of suluk is the proper and correct shir'i tazkiyah of the nafs. Islah, if carried out correctly, will bring about this type of tazkiyah. This was the purpose, the process Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi put Shibli through. Now, just to refresh our memories, last week we gave the whole story of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a sheikh, and Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi had come to him just to take bayat because he wanted to spiritually cleanse himself. So what did Junaid Baghdadi do? He told Shibli, you go, you were a mayor of your town or a ruler of your area, you had nobility, he was the Ra'is. Now you go and ask Mafi from all those people you did wrong. It's obvious a person is the ruler. So there will be many times where he'll make zulam. He may have hurt somebody's feelings, taken away their property unjustly. He may have been harsh, cruel. Go and ask all those people for maaf. Then you come back. So one whole year he went and asked all those people for forgiveness. And then he comes back and Junaid Baghdadi hasn't given him bayat still. He's not a murid. Tells him, now you go and start begging for alms from the people. Beg for charity. Imagine he to lower himself to that level. He still went, another whole year he spent. Comes back, nobody had given him anything. Then he tells him, now you go and collect money again. Beg from the people, and any money they give you now, you must give it into charity. 3 years he underwent this type of process before he was given just bay'at from Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi. But what is this whole thing we mentioned last week? The process of islah and tarbiyat already commenced. All his pride went away. The egos, the harmful desires was annihilated. So he lowered himself and this was sufficient. Now when he took bayat, already he has reached that desired effect of islah and tarbiyat because it already had started. So this is the purpose. This was the process Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi put Shibli through. We mentioned last week, we emphasized on huququl ibad, rights of people, which most of us are negligent with. Comes to namaz, salat, huququllah, mashallah, to a certain degree and level, people are fulfilling that right. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. But what about huququl ibad? Huququl ibad had to be fulfilled through the asking of forgiveness from Shibli's subjects. Tazkiyah was done through begging, which broke all the pride and arrogance in him. After the tazkiyah, or with it, comes tajalliyat al-qalb. The heart becomes embellished, begins to shine now. When person now goes through tazkiyah, he purifies his soul. When he scrubbed his soul, all the filth, now he's going to shine. With akhlaqi hamida, with good qualities, with good traits, making sure that both huququllah, the rights of Allah, and huququl ibad are taken into account. This is what we have to do. Fulfill the rights of Allah, and fulfill the rights of our fellow human beings. In the beginning it was said, that man has been sent into this world for the sole purpose of ibadat. Right in the beginning, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man except for my ibadat. What has been laid out in front of you is the tartib. If you recall, Allah Ta'ala said you must make his ibadat. How to make his ibadat? We have to have knowledge, and knowledge brings us closer to Allah Ta'ala. Then we have to make tazkiyah of ourselves, because we're going to interact with people, we're going to deal with people, we will need to know how to talk to people, to fulfill their rights, to humble ourselves. So all this is a process of tazkiyah. So we've got ibadat, that's our goal. What has been laid out in front of you is the tartib, the sequence involved in fulfillment of this responsibility of making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both the salik, the one who is treading this path of suluk, and the tabib islah, the mentor, both have to follow this method. Suluk is not merely reciting wazifas. Many hanker only for wazaif and do not look at the tartib of islah. These people hanker for that for which one would not be called to account, and neglect that which comes first and for which one is accountable. So many times a person takes bayat, but his purpose is just to get some nice wazifa so he can read for barakat for his business, or he's got a problem with his wife or children, he just wants wazifas. And he feels, now I've taken bayat, I'm a murid of so and so person, and this is what I'm doing. Or he wants some zikr, whatever it is. This is not the purpose. The purpose is that we have to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill what Allah has demanded from us first. Fulfill the rights of Allah. Fulfill the rights of fellow human beings. One bears responsibility for fulfilling huquq and not for hudooth. Two words. Huquq, rights. Hudooth simply means pleasure. The word hadhun in Arabic means lot, share. So here it means pleasure. So one is huquq, rights. And the other one is hudood. We have to understand this explanation. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah says, we have mustahabbat, nafil things, things which are preferable. All these things, he says, follow the category or come under the category of hudood, pleasure, not huquq. To understand this, he says, similarly we have kayfiyat. What does kayfiyat simply mean? A spiritual state, an ecstasy a person gets into. Sometimes he's making some dhikr and suddenly gets a very beautiful feeling, and even maybe he begins to cry and his heart melts and he feels so nice. This is called kayfiyat. Now let us listen what Hazrat Ji Rahman says. He says kayfiyat, spiritual states, is a part of hudood, pleasure, not huquq. So he says, kayfiyat also form part of huzuz. These are not parts of huquq. Some tend to run after kayfiyat. People want to make zikr and they want to experience some type of ecstasy, failing which they feel miserable. So Hazrat Ji says, kayfiyat produce enjoyment and delight. Sometimes there is crying also. At times the heart is also crying. Some or other emotional state overwhelms the person. But remember, kayfiyat are also part of makhluq. So how can the salik pursue the makhluq, that which has been created, when his objective is what? His object, his aim is khaliq. We all are seeking Allah. That is why I mentioned, the maqsood of tasawuf and islah is not the shaykh. The maqsood is Allah. The pleasure of Allah. Allah is our khaliq. We want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes a person may get kayfiyat, and sometimes he does not get kayfiyat. But that is not something that he's accountable for, and that he has to achieve. No. It may come, it may not come. It's something that has been created by Allah. So it is makhluq. But we are in pursuit of the khaliq, Allah. Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask, why did you neglect the wazifa that you had? Of course, now please to understand this. We have dhikrullah, tasbihat. All these things have been mentioned in Quran, Hadith, we have Nawafil, we have Rozas, we keep Nafil. But sometimes what happens, the person only does those things. And in our understanding, he may score an A for Nafil Rozas, Nafil Salat, extra Wazifas, Tasbihat. that when it comes to rights of others, then he fails miserably. It's like failing the main subject and you fail the exam. You may have scored A's in all other subjects, but those are not the criteria. In our time, I don't know if it's probably now also, you fail English and Afrikaans, you fail the whole exam. So you fail the main thing, huquq, you failed. So there's a difference. People, or he says, Allah is not going to ask, why did you neglect the wazifa, the wazaif? Why did you neglect nafil ibadat? No, but Allah Ta'ala is going to ask you, why did you neglect the necessary sharia commands of deen? Did you perform your salat, your 5-time salat? If you did, why did you not perform it with jamaat for males? What sharia excuse prevented you from making your namaz or jamaat? So many of us, namaz time, no valid excuse, we may read it at home, or at the business, or anywhere else, or we make it a qaza. But other nafil ibadat we're doing, Sharia is not telling us not to make the nafil ibadat, but Sharia is telling you to give priority first to that which is compulsory. This is a hadith, the riwayat of a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, reading, mashallah, tahajjud, long, long rakats of tahajjud, but Fajr he was not present. Nabi Karim stopped him. He said, you'd rather be present for Fajr than spending so much of time in tahajjud salat and then falling asleep for Fajr. There are priorities we have to get first. So he says, Allah Ta'ala will ask you, what sharia excuse you had to prevent you from reading namaz or jamaat and so forth? Do you understand this difference between huquq, rights, and hudus, the pleasure? Let us illustrate another manner. Probably this is a better example for us. Food that we eat can be put into two categories. The one category is essential for proper nutrition of the body. In this category, we have items like roti, meat, dal, so forth. It is the hukuk of the body to have these basic foods in order to thrive properly. If one interferes with this right of the body by not eating, by staying hungry for no valid reason, one would be questioned for one's neglect. To eat your fill and maintain your health and strength falls in the category of huquq. It's the right of your body that you nourish it correctly. The second category of foodstuff contains items prepared in addition to the basics. These items are not essential for the nutrition of the body. It's also food items, but not essential for the nutrition of the body. Examples of such items are chutney, achar, halwa, and so forth. Mithai. Everybody understands this. It's also food. But this is not your basic essential food for your nutrition of the body. A person can eat mithai every day and he does not eat any other food as an apple. He'll get sick. So Hazratji says this is the category of hudud. These items add taste. They whet the appetite. If a person leaves out the roti, dal and meat and eats only chutney and achar, will he be able to maintain his health and strength? No, obviously not. Yes, he may experience some temporary pleasure, but the eventual outcome would be injurious. In a similar manner, one's ruhani nutrition can be categorized into the category of basic and essential, and that is called huquq, and then the other category, huzuz, which is additional to the basic, that which adds some flavor. That which gives a person some type of enjoyment. The hukuk cannot be neglected. The huzus may or may not be performed at times. Person may not perform his nafil. Person performs nafil, it adds to the flavor. So then Hazrat Ji explains nafil ibadat, so that we don't misconstrue this, we don't get a wrong idea, and somebody says, okay, now I won't make any nafil. No. Nafil ibadat, whether it's namaz or roza, we said fall in the category of huzus, not hukuk. It is additional, like chutney and achar. They add to the taste and delight. Nafil namaz may be those that are performed at the times of 5 daily namaz, or they may be those like ishraq, chash, awabin, tahajjud, nafil rozas, shaban, shawwal, dhul hajjah, muharram, like we kept now. One may keep 3 nafil rozas every month, 13, 14, 15. We can keep Mondays and Thursdays. Being nafil, if it is not performed, one will not be answerable. Somebody doesn't keep Monday roza, sunnat roza, or Thursday. Is he gunegar? No, not at all. Somebody does not keep Muharram fast. Is he sinful? No, not at all. That is one reason why it is. However, Nafil and Wazaif, they bring joy and light to one's ibadat. That is one reason why they are prescribed. So why we have to make Nafil? It brings some light, some joy into ibadat. Another reason for recommending them is to fill in any deficiencies in our necessary ibadat. Just like we have condiments, salad, fruit, will provide vitamins and minerals lacking in the basic food. Similarly, sometimes the nafil is there to fill any shortcomings in our hukuk. There is a hadith of Rasulullah that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call a person and ask him to produce all his fard salat. His fajr, salat, zuhur, asr, maghrib, isha. But there will be so many deficiencies in his faraid. Perhaps he didn't perform it with khushu, khudu. He made a lot of errors, mistakes. So Allah Ta'ala will then say, okay, check if you got any nafil namaz, bring that, and then we'll fill in all the deficiencies. Like how we say in exams, let's see if you can give him some part marks, so that he can pass. But the main thing is that faraid. So any deficiencies in faraid will be completed by nafil. It's called mukammilat. If any deficiencies in the basic, then these nafil, additional, they help to fill that those deficiencies. And also nafil brings in some type of light and joy in the heart. But this is the object of nafil. So as it explains the whole hadith which I explained now to you, that Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will ask the person to bring his, to compensate with his nafil, that deficiencies and shortcomings in his fard. To summarize thus far, what has been presented to you is the tartib, the sequence of tazkiyah, the method of islah. This has two parts to it. Firstly, tazkiyah. If you recall now, when you want to reform and purify yourself, you undergo spiritual reformation, what happens? The very first thing you do is removal of akhlaqi razila, the evil qualities we have in us. Evil razail. Razail means the evil, the base qualities from the nafs. Secondly, following tazkiyah comes embellishment of the heart with akhlaqi hamida. So we said in the beginning, we'll remove the evil traits, and then after that we bring in the good qualities. And if you recall the example we gave, first you make istighfar, you wash away the sins, and then you make durood, you wash and cleanse the garment, then you apply itr upon it. Make istighfar and then durood sharif. Remove the evil qualities we have, and then you bring in yourself, inculcate in yourself the good qualities. So this is the method. The islah should not be merely superficial. It should be done in such a way as to be permanent. How to judge? How to see if there is permanence in one's islah? In the case of deep-rooted tazkiyah, at the time of any inclination towards evil traits, akhlaqi razila, the person will immediately stop himself without consciously devising any specific plan. I will repeat this. How to judge how our islah is being made? So, how to see if there is permanence in one islah? Islah is not just for a couple of days. No, there must be permanency in one's islah. In the case of deep-rooted tazkiyah, at the time of inclination towards any haram, towards any evil trait, the person will immediately stop himself without consciously devising any specific plan. Understand his last phrase well. The person will stop himself will stop automatically, naturally, without consciously telling himself, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Because Allah Ta'ala will make it such that this machine or this body he has and this soul he has, already it's been living in a pure and clean environment and it has been accepting clean and pure instructions. So, without even consciously having to remind himself, Allah is watching me, he'll automatically stop himself from that haram. This is done without consciously looking through the different remedies for that particular unseemingly inclination. This is the standard, this is the criteria. You may not have reached this level. In that case, the second level is good enough. This is to stop the nafs immediately. We need to incline towards akhlaq-i razila by consciously putting into operation any of the procedures prescribed for that particular bad quality. This will indicate that the person has attained the objective of islah of the nafs. So we may not just naturally stop ourselves from getting inclined towards some haram, but we may have to consciously remind ourselves. And we'll have to ponder and reflect, Allah is watching me, and I've got this pride, or I've got arrogance, or I've got hasad in me. So this is the method required to remove that hasad which has been provided for me. And this is the method to remove that anger that I have, or that the vanity I have, or the pride I have, or the haughtiness. This is the method which has been prescribed. So then a person adopts that particular method. Thus today the tartib of suluk has been laid out in front of you. Ataji gives this whole thing, one majlis. We have taken several weeks. Nonetheless, slowly, but we must understand. First we remove akhlaqi razila, and then inculcate akhlaqi hamida. And we mention the whole procedure of islah, supporting ayats from the Quran Sharif, hadith, qisas of akabir, and also the awliya Allah. All these things have been mentioned to explain to us what is suluk and what is islah. The islah of the ra'is requesting to become bay'at. There's a nice story about a person, Ra'is, very high, noble person. Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Hamid Ramadan had gone to some place. So there was a Ra'is, noble person. He was residing there, and he requested to become bayat to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali had acceded to his request, okay, and appointed a specific time for the Ra'is to present himself for the formal bayat to take place. So he said, come certain time, and then we'll give you the bayat. Now because the murid who was going to be a murid, he was a Ra'is, so he felt that he had to distribute mitai to mark this happy occasion. I'm going to become bayat today. So he felt that I must give some mitai out of happiness. This is not part of our custom. When a person becomes bayat, he's not expected to distribute mitai. On the other hand, if the person does distribute mitai, there is no objection either. Subhanallah. This is our mashayikh, buzurgani deen. Balanced life. Is the person has to make it compulsory to give mitai to celebrate? No. If somebody of that level, out of happiness, he gives some mitai, there's no problem in it. But still, it is not part of our practice when a person becomes bayat. So you just digress slightly, and he said, some acts of mubah, which are permissible, they can become prohibited when a harmful effect sets in. So he said, let us digress to explain this point further. Some acts which are mubah, mubah in Arabic means permissible, but they become prohibited when there is some harmful effect set in. Example of this is distribution of mitai at the khatam of Quran Sharif, at the completion of recital of Quran Sharif in Taraweeh during Ramadan. This distribution is mubah. If it is not mubah, Hazrat Wala would not have been a party to it, as the Jirama says. In the early years, he gave consent. People finish some Quran khatam, child finishes hifz, and he gives some food, give some sinni, permissible. It's happy occasion, and to mark that happy occasion, there's nothing wrong in that. Sharia is not so difficult by a haram to give some sinni now. No. I remember Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, we should finish many kitabs by him in the madrasa. He was a great buzrug, should come down, so out of barakat we should go. And one day we finished one kitab, he asked us, elderly buzrug, he doesn't eat any chocolate or anything, he says, sinni kaha hai? So it was mubah, it was permissible. But look at the point where Hazrat Ji Rahman explains. He says, in the early days, Hazrat Thani Rahman gave consent, but when harm intruded, he put a stop to this practice. It was mubah, but some harmful effect he saw was coming in, so immediately he stopped this practice. What started happening was that people not making namaz came just for the mitai. Others used to perform their tarawis elsewhere, and arrive there for the mitai. Maybe we don't have mitai nowadays, we have something that rhymes like mitai, maybe like brai. Very young children started coming on that night. Floor of the masjid courtyard became strewn with mitai. Used to happen before, yeah? Oh, Hazrat Mawlana stopped it. People will give jalebi outside and what a mess used to take place. So because, and the people started queuing more than once for the mithai. They came for the mithai, went back. Like we have several doors, poor young boy standing with the chocolate, come from this door, they'll go the other door, and the other door, and all the chocolates are over. So Hazrat Taniwaram was so all is happening. So people are queuing more than once for the mithai, so forth. Because of the harm, this practice then became prohibited. So the principle involved is that which is permissible, mubah, act, it will become prohibited when some harm, some corruption sets in. Then Hazrat Ji gives some other examples, fiqhi masail, we're not going to go into those details. But let's continue the story and then we'll terminate inshallah. He says, let us go back to Hazrat Wala and the Ra'is. The Ra'is arrived at the appointed time. He came, Hazrat Tanu said, you come this time and I'll give you bayat. He brought a basket full of mithai, carried by his servant on his head. So he's the Ra'is, he's a big person, he's got his khadim, khadim has got the mithai on his head. So the basket full of mithai carried by his servant's head was also brought for distribution. The servant placed the basket on the floor and he departed. That was his job. He brought it and he carried on. Hazrat Thani Muhammad was said, he looked at all this. He said, a certain person has requested to see me and I have to proceed there now. No problem. You come with me. He told the Ra'is, you come with me. We'll take, give you bayat, but you join me now. Inshallah, if I have the opportunity, I'll make you bayat there. Servant had gone. Now who's going to take the basket of mithai along? The Ra'is has to bend down. He lifted the basket and placed it carefully on his own head. Walking thus, he follows Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi. The process of Islah had started. Before even formal bayat can take place. The Ruhani Tabib, spiritual doctor, Hazrat Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi had recognized the temperament coming to become bayat himself, but getting the servant to carry the mithai, oh ho, this will not do, this is not right. You want to take bayat, you bring the mithai yourself, carry in your own head. Don't bring on khadim to carry all those things. He doesn't tell the Ra'is anything. He makes him carry it. The treatment was commenced immediately. Arriving at the destination, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali attended to his work. He had some work. When finished, he said, oh, I have another appointment as well. There's just not enough time to make you bayat now. Never mind, come with me. Inshallah, if I have time there, I'll make you bayat. In this manner, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah got the Ra'is to go with him 3 to 4 different places. And each place is where Ra'is is carrying the basket of mithai on his head. Onlookers are marveling at his unique parade. Hazrat Wala told us later in his majlis, knowingly, I led him through such places where his friends could see him. Finally, they returned to the starting point. Hazrat Wala told the Ra'is, oh, unfortunately, I had no time to make you bayat at any of the other places. I have time and opportunity now. Hazrat Wala went on to making him bayat. Yes, mithai also got distributed. The Ra'is was, after all, man of nobility, and therefore man of understanding. Once outside, he told others, I had understood immediately. The treatment of takabbur in me had started. He had pride, so now the treatment of the takabbur started. And he said, and he realized, he recognized that what wrong he had done in getting the servant to bring the mithai. I should have brought it myself. So, what is happening? Fana. Annihilation is the first step. Even before he can become murid, Hazrat Thani Ram already is working on the man's nafs to make fana, to annihilate the pride that he has. We will stop here, inshallah. Well, this is very short, more, little bit left. Next week we'll continue, inshallah. Fana is the first step. And we'll recap this entire majlis, inshallah, next week, if Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. It's important. Those days, Hazrat Ji Ramadan, one majlis, maybe 1, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, people will sit and the whole thing is explained. And most of the people who would sit that time were ulama and students and people who were bayat to him. He was a very great buzurg, wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, by reading their mawa'id, nasihat, whatever we can understand, we have got very, very simple understanding, we are weak. These people are not with us for us to ask them further clarification and understanding, but alhamdulillah, they have left the legacy behind. So Allah Ta'ala will guide us, inshallah, reading from their majalis, Allah Ta'ala will guide us some way. It's not the pride, the jealousy, or whatever it is. At least we will try and make the correct way of our Islam, Allah Ta'ala accept our sitting here, and so that we can get closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.